This is Hisham Tilawi, and we're coming to you live from RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. And today we're going to have a busy 2 hours. In the first hour, we will be speaking with Charles Carlson of WeHoldThesTruth.org. And in the second hour, we're going to dive into Khaled Sheikh Mohammed. A lot of people have been talking about him. He is supposedly the mastermind of 9/11. He was with the CIA for 3 years. He was being held by the CIA for 3 years, and then they sent him down to Guantanamo Bay, and some documents, unclassified documents, surfaced from his tribunal hearing about 10 days ago on March 10th. We're going to go into details about what happened and who Khaled Sheikh Mohammed is. And, of course, we welcome your phone calls at 800-313-9443 with your comments or questions, and you can weigh in on all the subjects that we will be speaking about. As some of you know, and I do believe that RBN listeners, probably the most informed of all Americans, and probably the most informed with those who listen to us on shortwave around the world, AIPAC just had its conference last week. AIPAC is the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, and the names of those who spoke at that conference, basically it's who's who in our government and Congress. And all of them were basically with the same message that, especially with Dick Cheney when he said America and Israel are united. And it seems like most of our legislators, most of our Congress, senators, and almost everyone in government is trying to bend over backwards to please AIPAC at a time, ladies and gentlemen, when the last poll that came out last week, it said that about 78% of Jewish Americans don't agree with the war. But yet, when some of these senators got up there and talked about the war in Iraq, they basically got standing ovations, those who wanted to continue the war in the Middle East and wanted to continue the war towards Iran. And Nancy Pelosi, who basically is a supporter of Israel, but she was a little cold on the war, she got some boos every once in a while. They booed her in that conference, but others who wanted to continue, they got standing ovations. When we come back, we're going to talk with Charles Carlson about all this stuff and how did this Israel-United States unity start. We will be back in a little bit.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Current Issues. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi. This is our third week on RBN. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Charles Carlson had written an article a few days ago about a book. The book is not a new book. It was written way back in 1927, but it's extremely important that we talk about this book because it might shed some light on the AIPAC conference that took place just last week. And actually, I think it's probably the beginning of last week. And we will see exactly why our politicians are running to please or after Israel to please it. Welcome to the show, Charles.
Yes, happy to be there, Dr. Tilawi.
Thank you. Charles, what makes this book so important now when it was written way back in 1927? The name of the book is The Gospel of the Kingdom by Philip Morrow. Is that how you say his last name?
Yes, Morrow, I say. And we just found the book. It's been reprinted a time or two. My edition is 1978, but the original was 1927. And what makes the book important is it confirms the things we've been saying ever since we started our organization. We hold these truths. We've been saying that somehow the Bible was changed, the Christian Bible was changed, by a man named Scofield, and we called it Scofieldism. And we were surprised to find that that Philip Morrow used the same term, Scofieldism, in 1927, in describing the movement that's been come to be known as World Zionism. And he, in his book, pointed out that Christians were following World Zionism's lead and doing what World Zionism was asking them to do. And that was really amazing revelation coming from him, because at that time there was no state of Israel. And yet in his book he said that what was happening is that Christians were being misled into following the idea that there was going to be a state of Israel, and that that state of Israel would be sacred to Christians, and therefore they'd have to do what Israel wanted them to. So, in effect, this is the thesis of the book, and we have to give this guy a lot of credit for being able to figure this out before there was a state of Israel, 20 years before there was a state of Israel, in fact. And he did it by analyzing this Scofield Bible. He looked at what was being written into these footnotes, and he said clearly from the footnotes he could tell that the authors were pointing us in that direction.
Charles, can we, before we go into the book, so our audience and our listeners can relate to what you're talking about when you say Scofield or Scofieldism, tell me a little bit about Scofield and his reference Bible.
Well, Cyrus I. Scofield was a Civil War veteran, a very young one, and by the turn of the century, he'd become influenced by the Zionist movement, and apparently, as best we can tell, they talked him into writing a Bible, and he ended up writing one that was published by Oxford University Press in England, which had very close links to the Rothschild Empire. And that Bible had footnotes in it, and those footnotes were what was changed. He did not really change the language of the King James Bible itself. They were much too clever for that. They simply wrote meanings into the footnotes, and they made little changes where they needed to steer people along.
Which most people, when they read the Bible, they basically read more of the footnotes than the Bible, than the text itself.
That tends to be true. The King James Version is kind of hard to read anyway, and the footnotes are very easy to read and very pointed. But generally, the misleading isn't done by people reading the Bible. It's done by the leadership coming out of seminaries, because the World Zionist Movement knew enough that they needed to influence the pastors who were going to be influencing others. And so they focused their attention not on the public, but on selling this Bible or giving it away inside of seminaries. And actually, they practically organized certain seminaries, such as the big seminary of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is Dallas Theological Seminary. Started in 1924, just about the same time as Philip Morrow was writing his book.
Okay.
And so these pastors that came out of these seminaries had this book with this misleading theology in it, and they called it evangelicalism at that time. But that's not a very good word to use. Christian Zionism is the word that's now been adopted by John Hagee, who is the foremost leader of this movement at the present moment, even more important perhaps than Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson.
Who was also present at the AIPAC conference, too.
Absolutely. He was there at AIPAC, and he gave a keynote speech, and that speech should be listened to by anyone who is concerned about the world we live in. It is a shocking thing. It's really kind of mind-boggling to hear someone stand up in front of AIPAC and give this talk in which he's virtually demanding nuclear war against Iran.
So give me a couple of examples of what Scofield had done in changing the footnotes of the Bible.
Well, the most important thing that he's done, I mean, the first thing he did was changed the footnotes on what appears today in today's edition of the Scofield Bible on page 19. And there he made a land grant for the future state of Israel. He basically constructed a kind of a deed to property in the footnotes of the Bible. And he wrote those footnotes to something that's in the Christian Bible, and it's also in the Torah, the Jewish Bible, supposedly Bible. And it's about the words of Abraham, who talked about the future, who had a talk with God in the story. And the story goes that God said to Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and in you shall all the nations of the world be blessed." And in that same little paragraph, God pointed Abraham to a piece of land and said, "Go out there and settle this land, and I will take care of you." Now, that's all it says. But the footnotes of the Scofield Bible convert that into a supposed land grant for what amounts to the Jewish people, and it mentions the Jewish people, even though there were no Jewish people at that time. Abraham existed long before there was anybody called Jews. And in fact, there was no Israel at that time. He existed three generations before Israel. And there was no Judah at that time, because Judah was a great-grandson of Abraham. So the Scofield Bible conveniently wrote in that this verse meant that the state of Israel in the future, the state of Israel would inherit a piece of property forever and would forever have the rights to that property. Those words are in the footnotes written in the Scofield Bible. It also says that it is a sin to commit anti-Semitism, and it states that anti-Semitism is a sin that can be committed by a country, and if a country fails to properly treat Jews or the state of Israel, that country will be condemned forever. Those are things that are actually written into these footnotes on page 19 of the 1967 edition of the Scofield Reference Bible.
Now, Charles, it's interesting to notice here that this particular reference, Scofield Reference Bible, was edited even after his death. And one time it was edited back in 1917, which is the same year that Sir Arthur Balfour basically promised Rothschild, the Jews of England, that Her Majesty's government will basically give them Palestine once they take it away from the Ottoman Empire. And interestingly enough, it was also edited in 1967, as you mentioned, which is the year when Israel basically took over the whole of Palestine. Do you see any, does these two dates and these two years, the year when Palestine was promised by the British and the year Israel took over the rest of Palestine, any connection here to the Scofield Bible?
Yeah, absolutely, and especially the last one in 1967, because up until 1948, it was impossible for Scofield to write into the footnotes of the Bible the state of Israel, because it didn't exist, and people wouldn't understand what he was talking about. So he had to make reference to it obliquely. But as soon as the state of Israel was created in 1948, then the next edition in 1967, they just simply entered into the Bible and put in the state of Israel as though it had always been there. And Scofield had, of course, been dead for almost 40 years at that time. So what was being done was that the Oxford Press was rewriting the Bible under Scofield's name. And in order to cover for their lies, which really are lies, they maintained a very prestigious board of advisors. They called them the Editorial Committee, and it listed Cyrus I. Scofield as the editor, and then under him it listed very prominent leaders in Christian society. This is an evangelical or dispensational Christian society, one of them being John F. Walvoord, who was president of Dallas Theological Seminary. Another one was James Gray, who was president of Moody Bible Institute. These are very prominent evangelical organizations. And they did the duty of fronting for the changes in this Bible.
Okay. Charles, stay with me. We're going to be going to a break here in a second. And ladies and gentlemen, you can call us at 800-313-9443 to weigh in on the subject of what we're talking about. When we come back, we will be talking about the book, The Gospel of the Kingdom. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hisham Tilawi coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been on the network for 3 weeks now, and would like to hear from you. Let us know how we're doing, how we can improve. And with us today is Charles Carlson. We are talking about a book that was written back in 1927. The name of the book is The Gospel of the Kingdom. Charles, in lieu of what you just said, and I think our audience now have a pretty good idea of who Schofield was, and so tell me, what did Philip Morrow say in his book way back in 1927?
Well, first of all, he said that Zionism was a false, that Christian Zionism is a false religion. This man was a very well thought of a theologian in his time, although he was professionally a lawyer, but he writes with great clarity, and he was able to see that that what was being referred to as at that time as dispensationalism or evangelicalism is really what we know of today as Christian Zionism, and he said so. And he even talked about Zionism in the book. He talked about Lord Balfour. He talked about the Balfour Declaration. He talked about the movement, what the purpose of the movement was. And he went on to say that Christians were being led into a false religion that would be destructive to them in the end, and that they needed to abandon it and leave it and go back to following traditional Christianity. So this was the essence of what the book is all about. The remarkable thing about it is that he was able to see this at a time when most people didn't know there was such a thing as Zionism. The Zionism was kind of a European adventure, and American Jewish people didn't care a bit about Palestine. That all came later. They were sort of pushed into that later, just like they're being pushed into world Zionism today in support of AIPAC. But Philip Morrow is valuable because he was able to perceive something before it was obvious. It should be obvious to us now what is happening as we look at what's happened to Christianity. What people are deluded about today is they somehow think that the form of Christianity that is referred to as dispensationalism or Christian Zionism is really Christianity. And it's not. Just as Philip Morrow noticed back there then, and just as we have observed in all the things that we've written, we've said all along that Christian Zionism has absolutely nothing to do with Christianity. It's an oxymoron. You cannot be both a Christian and a Zionist. It's totally impossible. And it's actually a promotion of the world Zionist movement. So now John Hagee has come up, and he speaks to AIPAC, and he says that Zionism, Christian Zionism and Judaism are a marriage made in heaven. And he says 40 million evangelicals plus 5 million Jews are a match made in heaven. He then goes on and talks about essentially controlling the United States through this union that he refers to of evangelical Christians and Jews as represented, Zionist Jews as represented by AIPAC. And in his speech, if you listen to it, he has raving cheers from the audience there as he speaks. But no one stops to point out that most, three-fourths of all the Jewish Americans today feel the same way about Zionism and the same way about Israel and the same way about war in the Middle East as most Jewish Americans felt about it in 1927. They really don't want any part of it. So what you have is we have something called AIPAC heading up the world Zionist movement, which is essentially not only controlling Christianity, but it's controlling most Jewish Americans somehow, to where these people will stand up and say they're opposed to war in a poll, but when push comes to shove, they will follow what world Zionism tells them to do.
Okay.
Now, our view is, and we have been fighting this for a long time, we're fighting it within the realm of Christianity, and our view is that all people who call themselves by Christ's name or who follow Christ, such as many Muslims do, need to be willing to stand up and point out the error that 40 million Christians are following in order to break this grips of this political force that is today the most powerful political force in the world. Today it controls presidents. Today it determines what Nancy Pelosi says in Congress. Today, it determines who gets elected to the House of Representatives. And without the support of the Christian right, there would be no war in the Middle East. There would be no war in Iraq. There would be no war in Palestine. Israel would be making terms today with Palestine if it were not for the Christian right. This is the power structure in our world today.
Okay. Philip Morrow concluded his book as saying, he said, "I would point out that this modern system of dispensational teaching is a cause of division and controversy between those followers of Christ who ought to be at this time of crisis solidly united against the mighty forces of unbelief and apostasy, and further, that it tends to bring the vital truth of our Lord's second coming into discredit with many, because it associates that great Bible doctrine with various speculative details for which no scriptural support can be found." I mean, he was very clear. It looks like we went to the break, so we'll be right back.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Current Issues coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I am your host, Hisham Tilawi. Charles, before the break, which incidentally did not hear the music, the computer messed up there for a second, but the book, The Gospel of the Kingdom by Philip Morrow, Philip Morrow was very clear, and he pointed out and asked Christians or the followers of Christ at that time, back in 1927, that we need to unite and solidly unite against these forces that are trying to basically create this Christian culture, which, by the way, with the Scofield Bible, it was a subculture, a Christian subculture was created way back then and manifested itself into a Christian theology, where now we are looking at a huge number of people, probably 40 million people just here in the United States who have this, who've been indoctrinated into this dispensationalism or dispensational theory or theology. Are we seeing, is this like similar to what happened with Martin Luther when they broke away from the church? Are we going to see a similar movement here where these Christian Zionists is like a Christian on their own and having huge influence on Christians in the world?
Well, they already do. It's having a huge influence, but I think what's happening right now is the revolt against it is beginning with organizations like ours that have been started years ago and have worked persistently toward the same goal that Philip Moreau was talking about in 1927, and we're the counter-reaction to that, and I view Martin Luther as someone who was reacting to the evil of his day, which was, of course, the perversion that had gone on within the Catholic Church. He basically went in and tried to reform the church of his day. We think we are going in and trying to reform that evangelical church to change it. And that's what our purpose is to try to teach people within those 40 million that they're being misled. I'm optimistic. I think that people like John Hagee, who've gone out in the public and have stated that the way that this religion manifests itself is by supporting war. That's basically what he's saying, is that they support war. This is going to lead to a revolt against the evangelical movement. It's starting already. And it's our purpose to try to make sure that that happens. We're interested in firing that revolt against the evangelical, so-called evangelical or Christian Scientist movement. And the reason for that is exactly what Philip Moreau said when he stated that there is absolutely no scriptural support for Christian Zionism in the Bible. It does not exist. There is nothing in the Bible of Jesus, in the leadings and teachings of Jesus Christ, that would ever allow anyone to become a Christian Zionist. It's totally a false movement that has been cleverly sold and promoted by people of great wealth. And, for instance, people like John Hagee are multimillionaires who are now going out and openly supporting the State of Israel at the cost of telling people that they need to support open war against Iran, nuclear war if necessary. We've said in our analysis, which is carried on our website, that John Hagee would not flinch over another Nagasaki, Hiroshima in the Middle East. If Israel was to nuclear bomb Iran, John Hagee would not see anything wrong with that. That's how far he has distorted Christ's words. It's reached the place of being ridiculous. So, Christian Zionism has passed its zenith. We think it's at the apex now, where from here on out it's going to fall, it's going to be crushed, it's going to be destroyed, because it has no support in the reality of Christianity. That's our position, Dr. Tilali. We think it's over for Christian Zionism, and we want to be part of bringing restoration back to people who are caught up in this false movement. And by the way, all of these books and things are covered over a period of years on our website. We've written extensively about it, and for the details, people can just go to our website and they can read as much of this as they want and find as much fact and detail, and even read Dr. Morrill's book.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call us and weigh in on this subject we're talking about at 1-800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We welcome your questions or comments. Charles, now, you know, I like your optimism that this movement will be crushed, you know,
under its own weight.
Even though I like it, but I don't share the optimism, because it's probably too late, but I guess better be late than never. Now, this particular movement had basically galvanized American minds to look at Israel in a different view, and also to look at the Palestinians in a different view too, and which is not even close to reality. Like, for instance, the Palestinians are asked to recognize Israel. You see this all over the news. You see it in different formats, that the Palestinians must recognize Israel. And then in other verses, it will be the Palestinians must recognize Israel's existence. Mm-hmm. And then in others, the Palestinians must recognize Israel's right to exist. And if you look at these three forms of this recognition that is being asked by the Palestinians, if we take the first one, to recognize Israel, number one, Israel is a state, and the Palestinians, they do not have a state. So in an international law, only a state can recognize another state. So asking the Palestinians before they even have a state to recognize Israel is an oxymoron, because international law says movement cannot recognize state. And if we go to the second one, which is...
I agree with that, by the way.
Thank you. And the second one, which is to recognize Israel's right to exist, you know, here again, Israel's right to exist where? Because Israel does not have a defined borders in its constitution. They have not defined where their border starts and where it ends. So what are the Palestinians to recognize? Which Israel are they to recognize? And then the third one, to recognize Israel's existence. Well, I think the Palestinians have been recognizing Israel's existence every day. They're getting beat up, they're getting killed, they're getting their homes being demolished, they are being caged in with a 25-foot high concrete wall, and they're saying Israel is doing this to us. So I think the Palestinians have recognized that Israel does exist, and in fact, it is there. I mean, you know, how can you ask them if Israel exists or not? I mean, they're crying out loud of what Israel is doing to them. Now, how can the Christian Zionist not realize, and also let's not forget about the Christians in Palestine, which basically in Beit Lehem, there is only three gates that are, there is a wall surrounding the city, and people can only leave from three gates. So basically the Christians in Beit Lehem are in a big prison where tourism is dead. You know, most tourists who go and visit the Holy Land, which I encourage everyone to go and actually stay in Beit Lehem, because the Christians in Beit Lehem saying that when the Christians go and visit Beit Lehem, they mainly stay in Tel Aviv in these high expensive hotels in Tel Aviv, and they come visit the Church of Nativity and then they leave. They don't even contribute anything to the economy of the people in Beit Lehem, the Christians who are trying to survive and hold on to their Christianity in Beit Lehem. But it's getting hard because these tourists, when they go into Beit Lehem, they even bring their own water with them. So they end up visiting the church and moving out. What can be done, Charles?
Well, by the way, this is all organized that way. The Christian Zionist movement, most of the churches that take these tours, such as Jerry Falwell, he takes tours every year, and John Hagee takes tours, and many, many other Christian churches are taking tours to Israel, and they do exactly as you said, and that is that they simply take day tours into the Arab areas, and they make sure that no Christian who takes those tours is ever alone with an Arab citizen. They're just never alone. They're only in the presence of Israeli guides. And when the bell rings and it's time to leave, they're back in the bus and out through the checkpoint. And then they're into, as you say, into Tel Aviv, into the five-star hotels. So the 40 million Christians who go make these visits, and a lot of them do visit Israel, never learn anything. When I went into Israel, I went in by myself, carried my backpack, rode public buses, walked through gates. And I learned something because I had an opportunity to spend time with Arabs and see and talk to them and see in Gaza. But this is not the way it works when the church rounds up and heads up a big tour of 100 members and they take it into the what they call the Holy Land. So it's very important that we work toward education of Christians and not give up on the evangelicals who are make up that 40 million, because most of them are people who are very sincere and they simply don't know. They're horribly prejudiced because they actually have been taught that the Bible tells them that the state of Israel is sacred and therefore the Arabs are in their way. So this is a huge problem that you've pointed out.
Why?
And so this is what our organization is all about. It's about attempting to show these people in these churches one by one what's wrong with what's being taught. And by the way, John Hagee is going to hold a series of public, he's holding a whole series of public meetings called A Night to Honor Israel. They have huge attendance being held at colleges and large churches. One is going to be in Phoenix, Arizona. And we schedule vigils at those meetings. We're scheduling them right now, vigils at those meetings to go there and confront the people that come to those meetings with the idea, no more wars for Israel. who would Jesus bomb? And
Charles,
asking these hard questions.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Why we're not seeing, I mean, I understand what you're trying to do, and I have been following what your organization's trying to do. And
we are doing it.
Yes,
it's
you
just
are.
Just that we haven't won.
But exactly.
We need a lot more help.
Well, why aren't we seeing other organized Christian churches and organizations trying to offset what these Zionist Christians are doing? Why we're not seeing like organized trips to Palestine as, you know, to offset the effect of what John Hagee is doing? Why we're not seeing that? Why we're not seeing people speaking out to what John Hagee and the Christian Zionism are doing from the other? You know, we're saying 40 million
yes.
are following this. What about the 260 other millions Christians? Why?
That's right. There are at least another 100 million Christians in addition to who call themselves Christians. The reason for this, quite a few of these churches are doing that, the Mennonite churches. There are churches that are consistently speaking out against the war and doing their best. In my opinion, Hersham, the churches of America have been trapped into the tax-exempt status where they're really afraid to speak out for fear that they're going to lose their tax-exempt status or something. And also, they have not, the churches themselves have not been taught how incredibly important it is to recognize that evangelicalism, dispensationalism, is not Christianity. It's something else that has metamorphized out of Christianity and is something separate. So part of this problem is education, even in the churches like the Methodist, Lutherans, and Episcopal churches, at their seminary levels, they have to really learn how dangerous Christian Zionism is. And I do believe they're starting to see it now, because they can't miss it when they have people like John Hagee saying things like he says publicly that are actually being carried in the news. So I'm optimistic that there will be movement, but it takes a lot of help, and everyone must do their share. Everyone who believes this is the truth needs to find some way to be a little bit of help. And I'd appreciate it if you'd point people to our website, because people that want to help can come to our website and they can help.
Sure. Your website is www.whtt.org. We hold these truths.org. And also, I encourage everyone to get on your mailing list. You have a lot of great articles that you write yourself and a lot of other articles that you send out to those who are on your list. And that's the only way that we are going to offset this particular influence that the Christian Zionists have over our lives, basically. Now,
these people, I must emphasize this for people that are not used to being among Christian Zionists. The people who are Christian Zionists are the husbands and wives and children of the very people like you and I, who are talking together about this. It's a division of families. It's influence that's been through the radio, through the media Christians. And this influence is in every church. It's gone into every organization, into Catholics, into mainline Protestants like Lutherans, and of course dominates the evangelical fields.
Let me ask you a question. How much is the anti-Semitism charge that they normally throw at people who speak against dispensationalism and against or critique Israel's policies? How much do you think that weapon, which I might add is extremely effective, how much does it have in shutting up a lot of Christians who otherwise might be brave enough to speak about this subject?
You're absolutely right. It scares them to death. People don't want to be called anti-Semites. Even though it's an oxymoron, does not exist, there's no such thing. You can't be an anti-Semite because Arabs are Semites, so it's not even a sensible word. But it is a frightening thing to church leaders, even the popes and people like that. And I think it's one of the influences that has it is a terror tactic. And we've had this, we've had to overcome that ourselves. We've had to face that, and I'm sure you have too, Arjun.
How can we, because it's, number one, probably 90% or more of Jews in the world, they're not even Semites. And right. We will continue with this when we come back from the break. I hear the music this time. So, ladies and gentlemen, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Current Issues, the radio show. We come into you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. And with us on the phone from Colorado is Rita. Go ahead, Rita.
Oh, hi, Charles and Hesham.
Hi, Rita.
You know, what I keep trying to get the point on, sometimes I wait around on these talk shows for an hour and I can only get 30 seconds to talk, but what I'm really trying to get the point across is, you know, that we need to take down this war machine. We need a coalition, you know. And there are these people, you know, I keep understanding everybody has got their point of view. But, you know, if you want to really be true about history, it wasn't Martin Luther that closed down the Vatican. It was Charles V. And we need Orthodox Christians in our coalition. It, you know, Mennonites, you know, the real old Christianity if we're going to, you know, remember the values of the Christians.
Okay.
I agree.
And
that's
so,
where I think that recovery will come from mainline Christianity.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm with mainline Christians. I just wish that I could communicate in church and stuff. That I just keep waiting, because I did go to The Hague and I closed down the National Bank. I instructed the Jesuits here, and they left after 135 years because they don't understand the rights of Christians, and we get. The problem people don't understand is, with immigration is because we've got this Roman Catholic, non-American kind of Christianity, just waiting for all the immigrants to come here, and then the people who live here don't get to go to their churches anymore.
Yes. By the way, you're in Colorado. John Hagee is bringing his troop called Knight of Honor for Israel. I call it Knight of Horror for Israel. Or something to Faith Chapel, which is in Arvada, Colorado. Do you know where that is?
Where Colorado?
Church, Arvada, Colorado.
Arvada. Okay, I can look it up.
Well, it's right by Denver, and it's a very large. Maybe you're not in Denver.
No, well, I'm in the south end of the state, by New Mexico.
Anyway, John Hagee's visiting Denver. It's one of the places he's going to put on these programs, and we try to confront those people at those churches when they make those appearances.
We only have a couple minutes left. I want to try to squeeze Melissa in Texas. And Rita, I wish if you would have called earlier, I would have put you on to speak at length. But you can. You're welcome to call me back in the second hour, and we will discuss more of what you have to say. Let's go to Melissa in Texas.
Thanks, Rita.
Hello.
Hi.
I have an echo on my phone. That's strange. Hold on. Let me put it on a different.
Okay. Just do it very quick. We're coming to the end.
Did anyone mention Galatians 3:16 to Mr. Hagee? And I won't call him a pastor.
Why don't you give it to us real fast, Rita, because it's a perfect point. It says that there is no such thing as Christian Zionism, right?
Right.
Just read it.
Well, I know, but I'm saying Galatians 3:16 says that Jesus Christ was the promised seed, not Israel.
And it's not Israel. That's exactly right. The promise of Abraham was Jesus Christ. It was not the promise of a political state that would be occupied by a bunch of people that were not even from the bloodline of Abraham.
That's right.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well,
beautiful point.
Thank you, Charles, for coming on the program. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back here in a couple of minutes with the second hour of Current Issues, and I welcome all your phone calls. Call us earlier. I'm sorry we haven't, out. But we'll see you in a few minutes. Thanks, Charles.